We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. And you here might go, well, we know it's in Plano, Texas, but the people that found us online might not know where we're from. We're in Plano, Texas, just north of Dallas. If you're anywhere near us, you ought to come see us. We'd love to meet you. A special welcome to all of our online podcasters and listeners. And however you're getting this message, we greet you in the name of Jesus. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I am happy, and I'm pumped, and I'm excited. And you fill in the other blanks. That's how I feel about preaching to you today.
All right.
So y'all get ready. Anybody going to preach with me today?
Yeah.
All right. Amen, amen. We're in the third week of our Champion series. Somebody say champion.
Champion.
Week one, we told you that promise trumps pedigree. What God thought about David, the shepherd boy, was more important than what anyone else thought about David. What God has to say about you is way more important than what anyone else has to say about you. And there's so many people in life, they are like caught in a loop of what someone said about them 10 years ago. Don't do that, okay? What God says about you is more important than any of that stuff. All right, and in week two, we told you that servants are champions. Servants are champions. That's what we told you. David did not bring a sword to the battlefield. You can look it up. He did not bring a sword. He actually brought a sandwich. He brought a lunchbox to the battlefield, right? It's serving that brought him to the scene of his great victory. And somehow you want this great victory and you have this scenario on how you're going to get to it. Maybe God has a different way for you to get there. God's kingdom, servants are champions. You're going to serve yourself to your greatest victory ever. Today, I want to talk to you about the problem. The problem. You know, it's really amazing. Sometimes you've just got this problem, right? And it's all you can think about. Maybe some of you today, while we were worshiping the Lord, like we're singing all these lyrics and we got these beautiful screens and you got this wonderful praise team and they're just jamming out, but you are nowhere in that song. You are here thinking about the problem, right? You know what I'm talking about? There was a problem standing in the middle of the Valley of Elah. And you couldn't miss this problem. We're going to read about it. 1 Samuel 17, verse 3. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. You get that picture? Verse 4, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out from the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. Somebody said 9 feet.
9 feet.
9 feet tall. Wow. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels. That's approximately 126 pounds. Verse 6, on his legs, he wore bronze greaves. Think like shin guards. They were made of bronze. You know they had to be heavy. And a bronze javelin was slung on his back. Verse 7, his spear shaft was like a weaver's rod. This is one of my favorite descriptions in the Bible. It's like a weaver's rod, right? And its iron point weighed 600 shekels. That's about 15 points. So the end of his spear, that metal piece, weighed 15 pounds. And it's really long as a weaver's rod is. His shield bearer went ahead of him. We'll move on. Verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you are the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me." Verse 9, "If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects, your slaves. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Verse 10, "Then the Philistine said, 'This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other.'" Verse 11, "On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul the king and all the Israelite warriors were dismayed and terrified." So what did we learn from our reading? This Goliath was a pretty bad dude. This Goliath was a scary man. He was like two men put together scary. 9 feet tall. We have this problem. A giant in the middle of the valley. And he's over 9 foot tall. So do we have a big problem?
Yeah,
we got a big problem. And this problem, he's well armed. This problem has weapons. Goliath was ready for a battle. He had a sword. He had a shield. He had armor. He had a helmet. He had shin guards. He had a spear and a javelin. He had both. The problem not only was well armed, the problem was strong. This problem had some strength to it because his coat of armor weighed approximately 126 pounds. So he's carrying that right here. And his spear is like a weaver's beam, which leads scholars to believe the spear shaft was about 2.5 inches in diameter. So when it describes his spear being like a weaver's beam, it's thick. You can't hardly get your hand around it. And that's what he's using to throw. None of us could put our hand around something that big. He was a monster, and he was able to carry this equipment, and he surely knew how to use it. He was big, he was well armed, and he was strong. Also, the problem was loud. The problem was loud. The problem stepped out on the battlefield and shouted to all of Israel. He said, "I defy all the ranks of Israel." Do you think he was soft-spoken when he said that? "I defy all the ranks of the Israelites." No, he was like that scene in Gladiator. "Are you not entertained?" He was loud. He was a loud problem, a strong problem, a well-armed problem, and a really tall problem. And everyone was afraid. Everybody. King Saul and the rest of the army of Israel is afraid of this problem. They are so afraid that the problem, no one's stepping up to face the problem. Everyone is too afraid to even face the problem. Have you had a problem that you just didn't even want to act like it was there? Because that's what Saul is doing. The giant's out there screaming, and Saul's in his tent just going, "I just got to find something else to occupy my time and think about. I don't want to be out there because I will be out there and be faced with the problem." You ever know somebody that's like, "Don't even talk to me about the problem. I don't want to face the problem. I don't want to hear about how I'm failing in the problem. No, we're just not going to talk about it. We're going to ignore the problem. Maybe it will fix itself." Maybe, who knows? Maybe Goliath will just die of old age. All right, there are times in life where all you can see is the problem. Have you ever been in a situation where all you see is the problem? Like today, you couldn't worship because all you could think about was the problem. Have you ever seen somebody and you can't even like listen to them or really have a conversation with them because you know about a problem that they haven't fixed and you're just like, I got to get out of here. I can't handle it. It's all I can see. Have you ever laid awake at night, unable to go to sleep because there's a problem? Oh man, we have a problem with the car and we don't have enough money to fix the car and the air conditioner. We got to fix one. What are we going to do? There's just these problems. How am I going to talk to my kid about this problem? How am I going to deal with this situation? I got this problem. I'm worried about my marriage. What am I going to do? And you can't even go to sleep at night because there is the problem. And you can't get away from the problem. You can't drink enough alcohol to forget the problem. You can't take enough medication to dumb your senses away from this problem. This problem is everywhere you go. It is tall, it is loud, it's well-armed, and it's strong, and it's shouting to the top of its lungs in defiance to you. Have you been there? Have you been there? Anybody honest enough say, Pastor Chris, I've had some problems just like that. I imagine if you've ever raised teenagers, that's pretty much how that goes. But a young man named
David.
But a young man named
David
showed up. David showed up. And unlike everyone else, David saw more than the problem. David was able to look past the huge 9 foot tall giant. He was able to look past it. If you only see the problem, then guess what? You can't see the solution. If you only see the problem, you can't see the answer. You can't see a future. The Cleveland Cavaliers faced a 3-1 deficit against the Golden State Warriors in last year's NBA Finals. Is that a big deal? That's a huge deal. Whoever wins that 4th game is the champion. And Golden State only had to win one more game against those Cleveland Cavaliers. And guess what? Who are they facing in these Golden State Warriors? Well, the Golden State Warriors broke the record for the number of wins in the regular season. That year, the Warriors won 73 games out of 82. That means they only lost 9 games all regular season. And now Cleveland is faced with this task. We have to beat them 3 times in a row. It seemed impossible. And everybody wrote them off. If you can only see the problem, then there is nothing you can do. If you only see the problem, you can't see the strategy. If you only see the problem, you can't see surviving. If you only see the problem, you can't see a future where you overcome and you experience success. If you only see the problem, all you have is negative thoughts and everybody turns on each other and it's over. It's over. If all you can see is the problem, then you are already defeated. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and the rest of that team led Cleveland to a Game 5 victory. Then to a Game 6 victory. And then in Game 7, at Golden State, Oracle Arena, they led them to a 7-game victory. And it ended a 52-year championship drought for their city. Everyone thought it was impossible. But that championship team didn't think it was impossible. They saw more than the problem. They looked at some game film and said, sure, we lost this game, but here's some positive things we did. We can capitalize on that better. You know what? You did a good job guarding that guy. Why don't you guard him more the next game? You see, you have to see more than the problem. If you're ever going to get a strategy in life, if you're ever going to have hope in a life, if you're ever going to come together and form a win, you got to see more than the problem. If you only see the problem, you're like, what's the point? Let's just end this right now. I want to tell you that David saw more than a problem. David saw, he saw the promise. David saw past the problem and he saw promise. I told you in week 1 that promise trumps pedigree. Didn't I tell you that? When David walked out on the battlefield, he saw more than a problem. He remembered, hey, wait, I remember the promise of God. I've got the promise of God that He gave to Israel this nation. He's not going to let us go down in flames. I remember that promise. I remember that promise that he gave to Abraham. I remember that promise that he gave to Moses. I remember that promise that he gave to me. I remember that promise where I was anointed with oil by the prophet, and I received a promise that day that one day I would be king. I see more than the problem. I see the promise. You following me? Yeah. David saw and remembered how God had sent that prophet to his town, to his home, and poured the oil on his head. David remembered that he was chosen by God. Do you remember that you're chosen by God? Sometimes you need to have, let me say it like this. The biggest problem we have is we remember the wrong thing. You can remember that nasty thing someone said about you, but you can't remember a compliment someone said about you. You can remember all the hurt, but you can't remember that time you were in an altar and God healed you. That is you focusing on the problem and forgetting the promise. There are some times I need to look past my problem and I need to say, I remember when I was 8 years old and I found Jesus Christ in an altar. I remember how he delivered me from fear. I remember how he delivered me from suicidal thoughts. I remember how I got out of that altar with strength and power and love and get a hold of that promise. That promise is still alive for 37-year-old Chris Fluitt, just like it was alive for 8-year-old Chris Fluitt. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Is the promise of God still alive for you, Adrian? Is the promise of God still alive for you, Pamela? Is it? Clap your hands if the promise of God is still alive. Woo. David stepped bravely onto the battlefield, knowing that he had the promise of God. When you read about this story, he doesn't meekly, apologetically, if it doesn't bother you, Israel, and Goliath, I would like to step out on the field. No, he comes out brazen. He comes out bold. He comes out just as loud as that giant. Absolutely. He came bravely onto that battlefield knowing that he had the promise of God and that his enemy lacked the promise of God. He says, "This is some uncircumcised Philistine." And without getting into what all that means, he's saying, this guy doesn't have the promise that I have being a child of Abraham. Who does this guy think he is? This guy's not called by God and chosen by God and walking after God. He worships some fish god. Who does this dude think he is? I got the promise. Have you lost sight of the promise? Have you forgotten the promise? Have you forgotten that God has chosen you? Do you remember that what the Lord has done for you in the past? And do you believe that he'll lead you on to victory? Here's the deal. You can let Goliath have his weapons because I remember this. Isaiah 54:17. You ought to remember this one. Let Goliath have his weapons because no weapon formed against you will prosper. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of your servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. You see, you need to see more than a problem. See, all those Israelites were staring at a spear that was like a weaver's beam. They were like, yeah, that thing must weigh 126. They were staring at the problems. And David was saying, no weapon formed against me is even going to work. That's right. I'm not impressed. You need to see more than the problem. You need to see the promise. But there is something else you need to see. David saw something else. David saw power. David saw past the problem and he saw promise and he saw power. Let's read about 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Now, can you imagine him saying that really calmly? Very. Listen, I'm totally going to cut off your head, dude. No, he was loud. He was powerful. He said, you have defied the army of the Lord. You have defied the one who has all power. Verse 47. And all those gathered there, here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's. He will give all of you into our hands. He wasn't just thinking about that giant. He was saying, after we're done with this giant, let me tell you, we're going to get all of you. All of you guys are in trouble. Say, all you guys, are in trouble. Get this thing so it doesn't fall. You need to stop watching what the devil can bench press. The worst thing you can do at the gym is watch the really fit guy work out and pay attention to the amount that he bench presses. Because he'll be bench pressing, you know, 300 and you're over there having trouble with the bar. Right? And you will give up if you look at what everyone else is doing. All right? Stop looking at what the devil can bench press. Stop being impressed by his power. Stop being impressed by his sword, by his shield, by the size of his javelin. Cut that out. Forget about it. Stop watching what Goliath can lift. Their power does not even compare to your God's power. Now, I want to preach to a church that gets excited about a sentence like that. Your enemy, their power cannot even compare to the Lord God, Jehovah's power. I'm in a church yet that's excited about that. Y'all stick with me, all right? Y'all put your phones away. We'll get on this, all right? David said, I come against you in the name of the Lord. The enemy has no weapon that is more powerful than the name of the Lord. Do you realize that? You can call on the name of
the Lord.
The Lord. What's his name, y'all?
Jesus.
You call on the name of Jesus. There is no greater name. Neither is there salvation in any other name. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. David said, I come against you in the name of the Lord. The enemy has no weapon more powerful. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Do you only see the problem? Or do you see the promise? Do you only see the problem? Or do you also see the power of your God? There is no disease that he can't heal right now.
Amen.
There is no marriage he can't fix right now. There is no giant he can't deliver into your hand right now. I'm not talking in 10 years. I'm talking today, right now. You need to learn to face the problem with power. But there is something else you need to see. You look past the problem, you see promise, and you see power, and you also need to see perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Do you know what perseverance means? In a world where we want everything to come easily, we need to learn perseverance and patience. Oh, let me tell you, we live in a world where we want everything to come easy. Absolutely. Perseverance is steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. People give up because it's too difficult. People give up because change doesn't come quick enough. Most people that started a New Year's resolution have already given up on it because it's hard or it hasn't come as quickly as you want. All right, perseverance is not giving up when things are difficult. Do you have any perseverance in you? Can you see that in yourself? That you don't give up even when times are tough. You don't give up even when you sense, man, I ought to be further along than I am. You still keep trying. David saw promise and power, but he also saw that he could persevere. He saw it. He saw that he could persevere. Let's talk about that. You see, you must see a future beyond the problem. If your life dead ends at the problem, then you're done. You're dead. You got to see a life, a future past the problem.
All right.
Do you see that today with the problem that you're facing? You must believe that you can face the giant and not just survive it, not just come out wounded, but you could actually beat the giant and win. Perseverance is faith in action. Faith is more than just the moment somebody's healed. Faith is more than just the moment that you get the job. Faith is the moment where you failed last time, but you get up and try again. Faith is you fill out a same job application and you keep trying. Faith is perseverance. Persevering says, I didn't get that job, but I have faith that an even better job is coming. I'm not out of debt yet. Man, that's a perseverance faith thing to say. I'm not out of debt yet, but I will be out of debt and I won't quit until I am. I know we are having marriage problems and that there is stress, but you better believe I'm not throwing in the towel because I see a future past our problem. I have failed again and again and again, but I'm so close to a breakthrough. I will not grow weary in well-doing, because if I don't grow weary in well-doing, I will reap if I faint not, if I don't give up. Perseverance says, I will not die, but live to proclaim what the Lord has done. King Saul couldn't see past the problem. He says several things that lead us to believe that. Check out what the king tells David in verse 33. You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he has been fighting man from his youth. He's like, dude, you can't do this. What are you doing? This is the king of Israel talking. He could not see a future past the giant. So he just sat in his tent. Be careful when people are trying to help you. Can you just give me quotation mark help rule and say help? Some people are trying to help you. That's what King Saul thought he was doing to David. Listen, you can't go fight. Let me help you. You can't go defeat that giant. Let me talk some sense into you. Be careful when people are trying to help you by pointing out the obvious problem. It is no help to point out the obvious problem. The help is to point out a future beyond the problem. Man, you ought to get a hold of that, because you have people that keep talking to you about the problem. I've talked about the giant enough. Let's talk about life after the giant. Let's talk about life after the victory. Let's talk about life when we win.
Amen.
Amen. Saul said, you are not able. But David says, listen here, king. This is not the first problem I have faced, and this is not the first time I have persevered. He says it like this, verse 34. But David said to Paul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. Which you might not want to have started with that, right? He just said, you're not a warrior. And he's like, listen, your servant has been keeping your father's sheep. Right? Like, wait a second. How is this going somewhere that's going to convince me that you're ready to fight the giant? Well, listen. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. Oh my goodness. Do you have a I went after it kind of attitude? You need a I'm just going to go after it kind of spirit. He did not surrender a single sheep to a lion or a bear.
Yeah.
Are you surrendering things in your life to the enemy? You need to go after it. I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David remembered how God had delivered him from the paw of a lion and a paw of a bear. There was a future past the lion. There was a future past the bear. There is going to be a future past this giant. You see, he was only a shepherd boy, but don't you think he hasn't faced perseverance before, King? Don't you think he's not faced problems bigger than him, King? Don't you think for a moment that he hasn't learned how to go after things?
All right.
Do you remember how God made a way for you in the past? Do you have that testimony? When was the last time you told that testimony? How I had a problem. I didn't know how I was going to pay the electric bill, but God came through. I didn't know how I was going to get better from my illness, but God came through. I didn't know how I was going to fix this situation, but God came through. Do you remember how God made a way for you in the past? Do you? Do you? Oh, man. Quit walking up to a problem like it is something you have never seen before. This isn't the first time you've been in trouble. I made it through that. I'm going to make it through this. That is called faith. That is called perseverance. I tell you what, you've been living for Jesus all these years and you've faced all these giants. Why are you afraid of the new giant on the block? You ought to have a testimony of perseverance in your life. Can you see the promise? Can you see the power? Can you see the perseverance? David, he had another thing for us. He saw praise. In the middle of a battle, need your help, man. Hey. In the middle of the battle, he saw an opportunity to praise God. David marched onto the battle. He marched onto the field and he praised the name of his God. Look over here, guys. He's putting that thing up. You stick right here with me. David looked past the 9-foot giant. Actually, he looks the 9-foot giant right in the eyes and he starts to praise the name of the Lord. He declared, as he looked at the 9-foot giant, God is greater than you. You can face your giants and praise the Lord right in front of them. And this is the best part. You ready? This is the best part because the moment you praise, it is no longer about your problem. All right. The moment you start to worship God and declare His greatness, it's no longer about the problem. It's all about your God. Praise makes it all about God. Praise makes it all about God. It can either be all about the problem or it can be all about your God. What is it going to be? What's it going to be? We have the tendency to magnify our problem, don't we? All King Saul could see was the problem. The problem was too big and too strong to defeat, King Saul thought. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. You come against me with all these fancy armored weapons that everyone's so impressed with. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." David did not magnify the giant. David did not magnify his weapons. He did not magnify his obvious strength. David magnified the name of the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Can we throw that scripture up on the screen? Can you read this with me? Psalm 34 and 3. Come on, let's see it. Oh, magnify. We're at Psalm 34 and 3. Here it is. Oh, magnify the Lord. I want you to read it with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Haven't you had enough of exalting the name of the problem? The worst thing you can do when you get cancer is talk about cancer. Oh, I've got cancer. I feel really bad. I'm looking for pity. Someone feel bad for me because I got this cancer. Oh, and yes, it's a really bad kind. I want to tell you about what are you doing? You are magnifying the problem. You are lifting up the name of cancer. You are raising it to it is a giant no one can defeat. That's what you're doing. Oh, let me just tell you about everything that bad is going on. How come when you ask a Christian, how are things going in life? You never find a Christian that says, let me tell you, God is on the throne and He's powerful and He can do everything. That's how I'm doing. All right. You can clap for that because you have an awesome God. Listen, guys, I know we lost an hour, but you ought to get with this sermon because you can overcome your problem today. Are you with me? Yes, three of y'all are. I heard you. All right. You have more than a problem. You have a God bigger than any problem.
Amen.
Magnify your God, not the problem. Sarah, please come. While all of Israel was terrified of their problem, David saw something more. And while everybody's scared to death, while everybody's running around trying to dress David in Saul's armor, while everybody's like, dude, what is this kid doing? What are we going to do? Terrified, trembling in their tents. While that is all happening, we see this very small little picture of David that he goes down to the brook and he picks up 5 smooth stones. He gathers 5 things that he think can defeat the enemy. While all of Israel's terrified of the problem, David saw something more. I'm going to go find something that can fix the problem. Right? David saw promise. That's one thing. He saw power. That's the second thing. He saw perseverance. That's the third thing. He saw praise. That's the fourth thing, but that's only 4 things. What's the 5th thing that he saw? You see, I believe that David saw so far past the problem that it was no longer a problem. Everybody is bowing down, scared to death of this thing. But now it is no longer a problem to David. He sees something entirely different. When you realize that God's promise and power, when you realize that you can persevere and praise, when you realize all these things, your problem becomes something else. Your problem becomes possibility for promotion. Somebody say possibility for promotion. You see, we don't like facing problems. We don't. But let me tell you, what if that big, bad, giant problem is actually good for you? What if that big, bad Goliath is actually the possibility for promotion? Here's a little clue for you on your job. The people that get promoted on your job are problem creators or problem solvers? Which is it? Problem solvers. You find a problem solver, that person moves up in the company. The people say, hey, we have this problem in the company. Somebody says, I got an idea, and then they go on and they solve that problem. That person is promoted every time. When David walked up, everyone else saw the problem. He saw, this is my moment to do something great for God. There is a crown for me on the other side of this problem. There is victory for my nation on the other side of this problem. There is wealth for me on the other side of this problem. There is a new revelation of God's anointing on the other side of this problem. Do you only see the problem? Are you not a Christian that believes by faith in the possibility of God? Everybody wants the promotion. Nobody wants to face the problem. But the truth is, when you face the problem, you find promotion. There are some problems inside your heart today, and you've been worried about tackling them. Tackle them in this altar today. When you tackle when those problems are tackled by you, you will walk into a new promotion. You will walk into a new anointing. Don't be afraid of the problem. Go solve your problem. Don't be afraid of your problem. Go solve your problem. You know what? Where's the problem? What problem? On the other side of Goliath falling with his head cut off, David's like, what problem? Actually, he moved on to a whole new set of problems. That's the truth. There'll always be a problem. But you don't just see your problem anymore. Some of you've been living for God decades, decades, decades. You ought to be stronger today than you were last year. You ought to have a greater passion in your praise than you did last year. You ought to know the promises of God back and forth. When you walk into a scene where there's problems, you ought to know how to get a hold of some power. And when things aren't so easy, you ought to know that you cannot give up, because you will lose everything if you give up, but you will gain everything if you don't give up. You got to see more than your problem today. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could defeat the problem that's worrying you today? You can. You can. You listen to me. You can. We do 3 things every time we come to Redemption Church. We've worshiped the Lord. That's number 1. We have received the Word of God. That's number 2. Number 3, we come and we talk to God. For the next few minutes, I want everybody in this house to talk to God. For you that know about redemption around here, why don't you come? These altars are open right now. If you want special prayer in this house, just come in the first 2 feet. I would like to challenge you to make a step from your chair today and come pray. If you aren't cool with that, if you're not down with that yet, you just stay right where you are. But I want you to talk to Jesus. I want you to have a prayer time with Him. I want you to stop magnifying the problem in your life and start magnifying God. You ought to start changing the way you talk. You ought to start talking, God, you are big enough and strong enough for me. God, your name is what I put my trust in. Come on, Redemption Church, let's talk to God in this house. You can defeat your problem right now. Some of you ought to just get a hold of God and praise Him for the victory in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every person in this house that they would get a hold of you, that they would get a hold of your word, that they'd get a hold of your truth, God, and that they would stop running afraid of the problem in Jesus' name. I pray that faith would rise in this house. Lord, I pray, Lord, that people would get a hold of you in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's not just stand around. Let's talk to God. Come on, let's face.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.